Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your post-E3 host, Matt.
And I am your pre-next year's E3 host, Cliff.
Well, psych, because we forgot to talk about part of E3, so we're going to talk about E3 again a little bit at the start of this show before we get into anything else.
Apparently so. We missed out a big, big, big name in the game industry that, let's say, is controversial among hardcore gamers.
Yes, I believe they are called Electron Artistry.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
All I remember is EA Sports. It's in the game. I played a lot of World Cup 98. A lot of World Cup 98. It's in the game.
Yes, we forgot to talk about the Sport Factories conference, which was the first one off the ranks, and I really only remembered that we'd skipped it as I was editing the last episode, which maybe goes to show how much of the stuff actually interested us from the conference, but...
Admittedly, a couple of the things I'm very interested in, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's bang this out real quick.
Yes, let's bang it indeed. The main one I think that we can both agree we're interested in would be Anthem, the new game from BioWare... That is not Mass Effect.
It's also
in space.
It's not Destiny as well, by the looks of it.
It's also not Destiny.
It's similar to, but legally distinct from.
It's also not a game I was interested in after finding out more about it, to be honest.
It's a bit too early to really have an opinion on it, I think.
Oh no, I can definitely have an opinion from what I know about it. I looked at it and said, okay, cool, like, space explorer game, you're in a walled off city, you've got to explore this lush alien environment, awesome. You get a mech suit, even better, it can fly, kick ass. It's a squad based online multiplayer game. Don't care.
So at least half of us are semi interested in what it's got to say. I will wait until we get some actual details instead of a name and generic first person, like futuristic first person shooter footage. Yeah, I guess in the next year we'll get some more information about it. And I may or may not have an opinion one way or the other on it.
It basically looks like Space Tom Clancy's The Space Division.
Yeah,
it's just that game again.
Yeah.
And I can't care about it. I looked at that game and it looks amazing. Like, the footage they showed of, like, zooming through the jungle and having, like, vines flick out of the way as you rocketed past, all that kind of stuff. Fantastic. Giant alien monsters. Wicked. But, like, it's all squad stuff, and you have to play online with other people, and I just want to play by myself a lot
of
the time.
You're allergic to, so...
I am.
You can't play with others.
Critical online presence.
Stay in your bubble, boy.
Yeah. So I guess I'll wait and see what the story mode is like. If it is anything you can enjoy by yourself, maybe I'll give it a try, but probs not.
If they really try and copy Destiny, there will be a single-player aspect to it. Admittedly, Destiny's not a great example of it, because it was notoriously polarizing when Destiny first came out, but it was developed heavily later on, and hopefully Destiny 2 will have a lot more of that part of it, but I guess we'll see what Anthem has to offer when it comes out.
Destiny.
Nope.
Another game that is adding some single-player content that was announced at the Electrode Art Store thing, Battlefront 2. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is a video game that will have a story mode now.
And looks very good.
Yeah. It's following, like... a rogue squadron from the Empire or something? First Order?
I haven't actually seen much of it. I just know that it's coming. Oh, it's following a bad guy. It's following the Empire, I believe.
The First Order, I guess, if they're setting it more in the present day Star Wars
something
universe.
Like that. But they're following a non-rebel unit, I believe, and going around that way. So that'll be very interesting. And it sounds like the little bits I've seen of it and heard of it, it's very much, they're really trying to actually get in deep with some story stuff for it.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're going from a non-rebel point of view is actually very, very cool. There's not enough of that in the Star Wars universe. Even in the non-mainline movies with things like Rogue One, you still don't get a lot of exposure to non-rebels. You do a little bit in that, but it's still very much a rebel fighting against the man thing. So this would be good to have not that.
Yeah, they don't tend to be the most fleshed out characters, the villains. I mean, they get a bit of depth, but not the level you get of your protagonist. So yeah, driving behind the villains of the piece would be pretty interesting. Plus you get to play as like Kylo Ren and Finn and all that kind of stuff.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully they've balanced the multiplayer a bit better, added a bit more to it, because the multiplayer was very good in Battlefront 1, but there was... I found lots of balance issues with the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
After that, I'll quickly rattle off a couple of games that I can pretty much guarantee neither of us care about.
Mm-hmm.
FIFA 18.
I'm outraged. I love FIFA. I mean, I don't really care, because all FIFA games are basically the same with a little bit on every time. So I get one every 4 or 5 years and go, yay, look at this new stuff, and actually have fun with it. But buying a FIFA game every single year, there's no point ever. And if you do it, you're an idiot. Stop doing it.
Yeah, I watched a person buy FIFA 2013 at a video game store yesterday. It was very confusing.
I have FIFA 13, I'm pretty sure. Great game.
It must be if you were buying it 4 years later.
Plus, you can get it for $15 or whatever, so that's...
That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, FIFA will be back with the continuation of FIFA The Journey from last year's edition. Hunter Returns, I think it's called, because the guy's name is Hunter. Madden is back. Battlefield 1's getting some DLC. Yeah.
There's no surprises there whatsoever.
Yeah, pretty much. There's two new car games. Need for Speed Payback is a thing that's happening, so you can drive cars very fast.
Yeah.
And The Crew 2, where apparently The Crew didn't really nail driving cars very well, so they decided for the sequel they would include cars and planes and boats and off-road vehicles all at once. And probably get none of them right.
Mm-hmm. See, so, yeah. Car games were very big before Gran Turismo, was it 5, came out? That was the one that took ages to make, right? And there was lots of great car games made in the lead-up to that being released. Since it's been released, no one's really given a shit much about car games, except for the hardcore car gamers. I played tons of Forza 3, a bunch of Forza 4, a little bit of Forza 5, but at that point I had already, you know, sort of tapered off a bit. But Forza 3 and 4, amazing games.
Forza Horizon 3, the most recent one set in Australia, was apparently pretty good. Oh, Horizon 2?
I think it was 2, yeah. Yeah, very, very good, but by that point I'd already gone away from the car games. I'd done my time. And, you know, I'm sure in a few years' time that'll come back and I'll get right into it again. I'll pick up Horizon 2 cheap and burn around Australia.
Yeah, I mean, there's been Drive Club on the PlayStation side. I don't know how well that actually did, but it existed.
Mm.
But yeah, the one other game... Oh, and there was NBA Live 18. Again, just a yearly sequel, not really a surprise. Yeah. The one game that I did find pretty interesting, though, from the EA conference, beyond the first few we talked about, is a game called A Way Out, which is a prison break
the
game.
The co-op, the two-player.
Yes, a required co-op game made by the people who made Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, which was kind of playing as two brothers at once using the two analog sticks of a controller. It was actually really interesting.
Interesting,
it was all
sort
of cooperative self-puzzle solving. And had a very sad ending. But this is made by the same people, and they're kind of leaning into that same mechanic in that it's two people playing, controlling these two guys who are breaking out of prison, working together. But it's this weird mishmash where, for one thing, you can actually play it in person, like couch co-op style, which is fantastic. But it'll be like one person has to be doing something while the other one's doing something else to work together to get out of the prison. But they have moments like one person will be in a cutscene and the other person will still be actively playing, and if the camera hits the right angle, you can actually see the live player still working in the background while the cutscene's playing out. And it does all this cool stuff like split screening, where, you know, if one person's in a cutscene, it'll take up most of the screen while the other player's in a minimal portion, and it's like dividing diagonally and horizontally and all this kind of stuff. It looks like it will be very interesting to watch as much as it will be to play.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a look at this, and it seems a very cool idea. I think we're going to see kind of a tech demo-y kind of game to see if people want to play it, see how it plays out when people actually get their hands on it, to see if this kind of thing will be popular in the future, which is not a bad thing at all, because a lot of games like that, you know, they're great games for what they do for gaming, maybe not so much for the actual game themselves. But,
I mean, from what I've heard, the short sequence that was demonstrated and made playable on the show floor at E3 took like a couple of months by itself to design and implement, because this is a lot of moving parts, like two players not always synchronously playing. It's a lot of logistics. And I don't know how long the game will end up being as a result of that, but it seems like it'll be a fun kind of cinematic experience either way.
Let's just hope they don't do what the show Prison Break did, and then once they'd broken out of prison, the show continued with the same characters. I don't
well, it
see
seems
the
like
point.
Breaking out of prison is just the start, then it's sort of going on the run and They've shown in the trailer sort of snapshots of them, I don't know, going off and finding their families and stuff like that. There was one sequence where they're at a petrol station sort of doing a hold up, I guess, to get money and supplies. And depending on how it plays out, like if you're not paying enough attention, you don't sort of secure everyone. There's a guy who can run out and flag down a police car and send him in after you and stuff like that. You can sort of remember or not remember to take the phone off the hook, all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it looks interesting. It's just how long that's going to take to finish is the big question.
Yeah, and I guess it'll also be very interesting to see how it actually plays. Like I said, with some games you get very cool ideas, but it doesn't quite play right. So we'll see. It looks like it'll be very, very good.
Yeah. But yeah, that was E3. The end, except for a couple of games that I wanted to bring up after seeing them in sort of smaller scale coverage. These are the games I told you I wouldn't tell you about before we started talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is a game called Donut County,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of a little indie game that's being supported by an indie fund in America, I think. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying this is a very PG game, but it's hard to talk about it without sounding raunchy, so bear with me.
Gotcha.
So basically,
I'm down with innuendo.
Yep. You play as a hole in the ground, and the aim in each level is to stuff everything you can find into your hole to make it bigger.
Yep. I don't see why it's dirty so far. Continue.
I know, right? So basically, you drop everything you can find into the abyss. You sort of have to work your way around, start with smaller objects to kind of widen it up a little bit before you can work up to the more challengingly diametered objects.
More girth. Gotcha.
Yes, you've got to work up to girth, and you sort of go around exploring till you can shove everything living or non-living into your hole to make it the biggest and swallow everything.
Yep, I don't see what the big deal is about this. If anyone out there can explain why this is dirty, please do, but keep in mind that I will judge you for being a dirty-minded, you know, creep, but sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It basically seems like it's a reverse Katamari Damacy. Instead of making your ball really big, you're basically just trying to get the biggest hole so you can swallow everything around you. It seems pretty interesting, though, because the hole, it's kind of done almost like an isometric view, kind of top-down from an angle. And the hole has physics to it, so you can catch objects and kind of they balance on the lip and all this kind of stuff.
Right,
so
okay.
For instance, one of the levels I've seen, it's all kind of cartoony, so you're in this area where there's like lots of little plants and like fence posts, but there's also a motor scooter driven by a raccoon who has a bunch of loose donuts in the back of the Vespa. And so you can't pick him up straight away because, you know, you can't stuff an entire Vespa in your hole straight off the start. But you can sort of catch some of the fence posts and sort of swing them around the edge of the hole to flick them at the bike to knock it over and stuff like that.
Right, so you can control...
You can't control the angle of the hole, but it can sort of like flick around the rim. Like the slingshot, the maneuver that they do in Star Trek to go through time around a sun.
Yeah, yeah, but do you have control over the ability to try and get make that happen, or is it just do it?
No, you're moving the hole around, but so you can sort of navigate it to sort of...
Oh, so you're actually physically controlling the location of the hole.
Yeah, it's a roaming hole. So yeah, you can sort of flick objects or sort of unbalance them by catching the corner of an object. Like you could sort of fit the wheel of the Vespa in the hole so it sort of tips all the donuts off the back and stuff like that.
Gotcha, gotcha.
It looks like this really goofy game that'll be incredibly fun to play.
It sounds to me like you're describing a black hole game.
Like little
a
bit.
A cartoon
little
black
bit.
Hole game.
Hmm. I don't know what kind of scale it will go up to. I mean, everything I've seen has been kind of, you know, small scale, like picking up people and rocks and stuff like that. I would be impressed if it eventually gets up to city
size. Entire civilizations.
Yeah.
Entire solar systems.
And apparently with sort of living creatures, when you drop them into the hole, they end up in an abyss like several hundred feet below ground, and they all sort of have existential conversations with each other between levels.
Sure, why not?
Sure. I mean, this is from a guy called Ben Esposito, who's done a bunch of really diverse games. The Unfinished Swan, which was this kind of arty puzzle platformer on the PlayStation platform. What Remains of Edith Finch, sort of a walk-em-up. A game called Tattletale, which was on PC, which was this weird kind of atmospheric horror game, where Tattletale is this little Furby-like device, and you're sort of roaming up and down your house in the dark, because if the tattletale goes off, it attracts like the mama tattletale, who will come and kill you.
Right, super creepy toy shit, gotcha.
Super creepy. So you're roaming around your house, like turning off lights and all this kind of stuff to make sure you don't die. That's a weird comparison to the rest. But he also made Sonic Dreams Collection, which was this faked Sonic game that was sort of an unreleased Sega game, where it was all this bizarre stuff using Sonic assets, like build your own custom character or help Tails give birth.
Well, and I have vague memories of basically an acid trip loosely involving Sonic. Was that that game?
Yes. There's right, also one section where you are playing as your customly created Sonic character, and you've got to fetch food to bring to a giant chicken version of Dr. Eggman, who swallows them and lays an egg.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's bizarre. So yeah, he's not exactly confined himself to one type of game, so I'm interested to see where Donut County goes as kind of a more light-hearted, mechanic-based game than something with a creepy or weird story.
It sounds like it.
There was another game that was announced sort of just after E3, but not part of E3, that I'm very excited about. It's made by the Game Grumps team.
Right. I know what you're going to talk about here. You sent me a video of this, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah. It's called Dream Daddy. It's a dating simulator game where hot dads date each other. It looks great. And it's voiced by the Game Grumps team, so that should be interesting.
We're in this weird period in time right now where you can just make ridiculous premised crazy games about random nothing shit and they will be amazing. Like, for example, I liken this to things like genital jousting, which is like, who even comes up with this shit? Like, what the hell's even going on?
Yep.
And you play it and you're like, yeah, this is disgustingly fun. I assume that this daddy dating game is going to be ridiculous and kind of, you know, fun at the same time.
Yeah, I kind of hope it's really earnest and not all played for laughs, because I mean that's kind of the Game Grumps guy's thing, but it sounds like if they play it right, it could actually be a really fun game rather than just like, huh, dads.
It's such a weird, such a specific thing too. They didn't just go like, let's have like a gay dating sim, full stop. Sorry. No, let's go gay dating sim, but then let's go like a small, tiny little thing about dads, and just, they've just like narrowed this down to this very like tiny like sliver of a concept, and then just going like nuts and going crazy with it.
Hey, hot dads is the trend in video games these days.
Apparently, yeah.
The Last of Us, you've got like pretty much any game with a male protagonist, he's usually taking care of a kid or something so that he's a hot dad. So yeah, I had a whole list in my head, but then I thought about Joel from The Last of Us and they fell out of my brain.
So I guess we'll see how that comes out. It could be weird.
I did see a video of Danny from Game Grumps recording lines for the game, but it was basically a bunch of sort of grunts and like noises. So he's just standing in front of a microphone going
just like an extensive sound library of random noises that people make.
Yeah, so I can't wait to have that thing very much upset my brain while I play it start to finish. But before then, what have you been playing in the meantime, Cliff?
Not a great deal, just more PlayerUnknown's. I did, on the sort of the E3 bandwagon thing, I did actually see some gameplay footage of the new Assassin's Creed game.
Yep.
And I was actually very interested by what I saw in certain aspects of it. The water on the Nile, damn,
some good water in that game.
It's some pretty water. It's not bullshit like super clear blue water. It is very like greeny brown river water, and it looks very very nice when you're scooting along a boat and doing things. Some moments that did make me laugh a lot is when one of the guys decided that a crocodile attacked his boat after he hijacked a boat. The lady that was on the boat, he then forced to jump off when there was a crocodile around. She got eaten by the crocodile. The crocodile was in a rage and then attacked the boat a bunch, so it was very damaged. Then the character, you know, boated off, did his thing, and saw a hippo and thought, I'm just going to hit the hippo with the boat. So the boat hits the hippo, the boat insta dies and starts sinking, and then he gets chased onto land by a hippo, and the hippo starts attacking him. Because hippos being the most dangerous animal in Africa. don't mess with hippos. But it looks like there could be a lot of fun stuff happening with that.
They did show a video in sort of the extended gameplay footage they put out from E3 of fighting a hippo underwater, which seems the wrong place to fight a hippo. It's kind of his natural environment. Yeah, like the one place he can move fast.
Well, they can actually move very fast on land too. People don't know this, but they're very, very dangerous. So don't piss off hippos.
Unless it's in Assassin's Creed Origins where you can just restart from a save point.
Sure. That can be an exception. But yeah, it looks like it could be very interesting. Visually, it looks stunning.
Yeah, it's really good looking. I mean, Assassin's Creed Syndicate and like even the Paris one before that were pretty good looking, but they suffered from pretty bad visual bugs. So I'm hoping that like they're able to iron more of that. Yeah, the face thing was a big problem. So hopefully more of that will be ironed out. So the visuals we see in that early footage will actually carry through to the main game properly instead of just occasionally in between bugs. But yeah, but you've not really been playing anything else?
No, not really.
Well, I have been splitting my time between a couple of games. Surprise. Still playing Wolfenstein, which is still surprising to me. It's actually really good. Like, I'm not good at shooters, so I'm playing on easy. I don't care about any of that. But the storyline is just ridiculous. Like, how they just matter-of-factly talked about the Nazis' lunar base, where they do all their science, and no one sort of goes...
Have you played any of the Wolfenstein games before that one?
Not really.
That's probably why you're so surprised.
Okay. So yeah. This is kind of the standard for Wolfenstein games?
In the original Wolfenstein 3D, you fight Mech Hitler.
I know about that. Yeah. But wasn't that just in, like, Castle Wolfenstein in Germany?
Yeah, but I mean, that's the original one. We're talking, like, Doom days and stuff like that. So way back when. And then that sort of rolls out. But ever since then, the Wolfenstein games have been on a very Nazis messing about with the occult and very high technology stuff like that. Yeah. But it's very fun what they do with it. Very interesting. Not in any way realistic at all, ever.
Oh, no.
But who cares about that?
Exactly. No, I'm having a good time with it. Just enjoying the story as much as everything else. It's kind of weird having a shooter that has all these like side missions, and there's a lot of collectibles in that game. So I'm enjoying
collectibles
working my way through
that. Are tough to pull off properly in this modern era, because people just chuck a whole bunch of shit in and it becomes tedious. Hard to get right.
For open world games, it's often ridiculous. For something like this, which is more linear, I enjoy it because it's less about combing every inch of the world and more about like sort of keeping an eye out for secret side passages.
Yeah.
And making sure you explore each sort of arena before you move on.
It's very much like the older things like Doom and stuff like that, where you at the end of a level it tells you how many secrets you found. So you kind of keep an eye out for like weird passages or stuff like that. It's, you know, things that you wouldn't normally go near, but it's just in the corner of your sight, and if it catches your eye the right way, then you're like, oh, secret, off you go.
I do like it actually shows like a live collectibles list in kind of the menu in each level. So it sort of tells you how many documents there are to find, how many sort of concept arts will unlock as you move through different character bios, health upgrades, and the other one, you'll have like audio logs and stuff that you can unlock sometimes. And it shows when you unlock them which one in the order it is, so you can tell if you've sort of skipped over one rather than just like, I have 3 of 5, I don't know where the other two are. Yep. So
all games with collectibles should have a list. And then in open world games, broken down into areas.
I do like that. It has sort of perks that unlock during the game as well, depending on, you know, doing stealth kills and stuff like that. So after doing 5 stealth kills on sort of Nazis early in the game, you get a perk that every time you stealth kill an enemy, it'll sort of reveal the location of a collectible somewhere in the level. So you can sort of see a question mark on your map, so you can
investigate.
I know that there's one over there. So it encourages stealth gameplay as well as kind of giving you the reward there. So I'm enjoying it for that. I also finally finished Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yay!
Like 2 nights ago, because I'd been putting it off for ages. I was literally in Hyrule Castle, ready to go into the final boss, and I was just waiting. But I figured the DLC's coming soon, I may as well finish off the main game first. Pretty good final boss. I feel like it's not as hard as the classic bosses, though. Like, fighting Ganon used to be the big deal fight. Like, it was able to destroy you. I think the problem was, by accident, I'd just come in really well prepared. Like, I'd been clearing out my inventory by just cooking a bunch, so I had all these, like, super restorative items, which I honestly didn't even need to use. But, yeah, like, a couple stages of the fight, the story comes to an end, it's all very good. I think I got the complete ending from doing all the sort of side content for the unlocking his memories and stuff. Not that it really seemed to make much of a difference. But yeah, it was kind of happy sad to finish off that game. Now I need to find something else to play on the Switch.
There is nothing just yet.
There's Oceanhorn, which is kind of a Zelda clone that was originally built for iOS, but then got sort of polished and put out for consoles. So I might give that a try. I got it originally on iOS, but I never played it because just the touchscreen controls were pretty awkward.
Alright, yeah. Yeah, give it a crack. Like I said, there's not much else to play on the Switch right now.
Yeah, there's some smaller titles, but nothing's really super caught my eye. I've honestly considered... I've honestly considered getting the Minecraft port, because I feel like that would be kind of a fun thing to be able to mess around with on the go, but it is $40, so I'm like, I don't care that much about Minecraft.
Yep.
Maybe when it goes on sale. But yeah, that's about it. I'm still waiting for new games to come out this year. We're about to come into the oncoming storm, I think, so...
Yeah, in a God help month us. Or two's time, that's when it really amps up. Sort of September onwards is a big release time.
Even July, August is when some of the stuff that I care about tends to come out, so it's coming. But speaking of oncoming storms, you know what storm has already hit, Cliff?
The storm of my wallet.
Yes. The storm in a bank balance. The Steam sale is here once again. Yeah. Have you spent any money yet?
I haven't yet. I have been looking a lot. Now, I discovered something today that surprise, surprise, grinds my gears on Steam.
What?
So, I know, right? Big surprise. So, I was... One of my mates was playing City Skylines. I thought, oh yeah, let's have a look and see what some of the DLCs and stuff are at the moment. Can I get the DLC... Like, all the DLCs cheap. And go from there. So I looked it up. So when you look up City Skylines on Steam, you will get three options. Let me see if I still have it up here. But you get three options. You get the standard game, you get the digital deluxe, and then there's a whole bunch of DLC.
Yep.
What grinds my gears is the digital deluxe edition doesn't tell you what you get.
Are you sure? It usually does.
It does not. It just says, buy Cities Skylines Deluxe Edition, and gives you a price. It doesn't actually say what's in that edition.
That seems odd.
Deluxe. And I've seen that not with just this game, but with other games as well. It needs to tell you what is in that isn't in the normal game.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and I was looking at it, and I'm not sure I really want to pay $25 US for all of the DLCs. So I've been umming and ahhing over that. I was actually going to buy Prison Architect.
Oh yeah, I think I've got that actually.
I haven't actually pulled the trigger on that one yet. But you know, there's lots of stuff out there that I kind of want, but there's so much stuff that I got that I haven't played yet, which I should first. I'm trying to be good.
I mean, there is that, but also that's never stopped me before. I was very upset when the Steam sale started. You know, you get the Steam email saying, a game on your wishlist is on sale. Like, it's good to know.
One game on my wishlist was on sale. I looked at it and they're like, 10 games on your wishlist are on sale. I'm like, oh, cool. The one I really wanted, not on sale. Astro Engineer?
For me, it was 35 games on your wishlist are on sale. Out of 40.
I try and keep mine small as well.
I don't. 35 out of 40. Granted, one of the games that isn't discounted is the HTC Vive, so that's not surprising. But yeah, pretty much everything on my wishlist is on sale in some form or another. So that's terrifying, and I don't know how much I'm going to spend, because also, this might be the last sale before the government manages to put through their ridiculous GST on digitally purchased games thing. So I feel like... I need to get at least a handful of games just in case that comes through.
Yep. Also, if they're going to make Steam put extra price on there, it's got to be in fucking Australian dollars.
Yeah, I I think I'd be able to stomach the GST if they actually put it in local currency, because that would otherwise just be like, oh, you're still paying in American dollars, but you're also paying local fees, so suck a dick.
Yeah, it needs to be in Australian dollars, probably. But that's a problem with Valve. They're not ever going to change it, because why, when you can like absolutely destroy our wallets and make a butt ton off it? Why do they care?
You can still destroy it. Just destroy it in local currency.
What it will mean, though, is more people are going to buy keys from key websites.
But they're cracking down on that at the same time even more. So you can't necessarily buy keys from any other region but your local region. So it's, for us in Australia, it's probably going to stop.
So we'll see, because it depends on the game and, the region of the key and stuff like that. So we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, it's worrying. And all because stores here keep bitching and moaning because their prices are too high. And people aren't buying them, so they go online. Well, maybe if you were in more in line with other online costing, then sure.
Yeah. I'm also noticing a real theme on your wish list, Cliff. It's either about being in deep space or deep water.
Bingo. Being on land is boring. I live on land. I don't live in
deep
space or on
the
ocean.
For the Game of Thrones Telltale game, at least.
Exactly. Yeah, I live on the land. I'm on land right now. Been there, done that.
That's fair.
Haven't been in space yet. Haven't been underwater to anything more than a few meters. So, definitely want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely say some of these games are good choices from personal experience, and some I've heard good things about. So, good choices at the very least.
But yeah, I don't think anything's... I don't think I want anything enough, even at some of the cheap prices. I've got other shit to do, basically, before I bombard my Steam list with more games.
Yeah, I feel like I'll get at least a couple of the small indie titles just to clear them off my list as much as anything else. But yeah, we'll see how we go. We've still got about a week before the sale ends, I think. No, almost 2 weeks.
Oh well, there'll be another Steam sale. It'll be fine.
There will. It might cost you more, but you'll find out then when it happens. Oh, on the topic of Game of Thrones, which is on your Steam wishlist for the Telltale games, which I have but have not played, there was more trailers that came out for Game of Thrones, which is starting in like 2 and a bit weeks, I think.
About the same time the Steam sale ends, I think.
Yeah, I think it's... Steam sale ends the 5th, Game of Thrones come back the 15th.
Oh, it was the 15th, I thought it was the first week. Oh. I'm trying to stay away from that kind of stuff, so I can go in fairly clean, watch it that way. So, yeah, it's weird that we went all through April and I didn't watch a single episode of Game of Thrones. That weirded me out a bit.
Yeah,
It also seems confusing. Weird that it's taking longer to make the show with less episodes.
Yeah.
Really, HBO.
I mean, they're basically having to write it as they go, so that's understandable. But, yeah, I watched the trailer. It didn't really reveal anything major. Lots of just sort of action shots and people looking pensive and all that kind of stuff. A lot of black being worn across the board. Yeah, a lot of costumes seem to be being more demure, less sort of fancy brocade and all that kind of stuff. Which, yeah, I guess fits the tone going into winter and all that. But, yeah, I mean, the shorter season, I'm looking forward to kind of blasting through it when it comes, because this might be the penultimate season, I think they were saying.
It is the penultimate season, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so we'll see how it goes. There's a lot to wrap up. Basically, they're going to have to wrap up the Seven Kingdoms junk this season, otherwise there's not going to be enough time for the war against the others next season.
Yeah. It seems like there's a couple skirmishes happening against the others, at least. But yeah, that seems like big season issue this year will be dealing with the humans.
Yeah, hopefully Daenerys rolls in with dragons and then just basically says, "This is mine. Now, let's go fight some others."
Dibs.
Yeah. Calling shotgun. You're sitting in my dad's chair, which is now my chair. Well, granddad's chair. Yes, granddad's chair.
Great grandbrother, uncle, dad.
Sweet. I can't wait for it because it's Game of Thrones. It's awesome. We're finally getting towards the end of it, overtaking the book, so we get some actual new information. Not that the direction the TV show is taking is going to be the same as the books.
Yeah.
I think George R.R. Martin's already said that it's split up a bit. they're taking their own way, and he's going to go his own way. So maybe we'll see what the books end like before he dies. Maybe.
Maybe.
He's not a young man.
He is not a young man. I think he is powered by the sheer rage of all his devoted fans, though, so he may live forever.
Yeah, he survives on the tears of broken-hearted fans.
That's it. Just, like, nourishing
Which
him.
Which means
num,
that
num,
he
num,
should
num.
Have... Yeah, if that makes would make him younger, he should actually be many negative centuries old by now.
Well, you know, it's all about portion control. I'm looking forward to the new season, because I'm not up to date on the books. I should finish the last... I think I've got a book and a bit to read still, but it's just much easier to ingest the TV show, especially knowing that it will have an ending, where the books may never have one.
Yeah, the books are very, very dense.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
Book 4 is notorious for being boring because it introduces a whole bunch of new characters that no one gives a shit about, instead of talking about the actual characters. And then book 5 takes over, finishes that kind of shit off in the first part, and then actually moves on to the characters we all know and love in the second part of the book. So it is a tough book and a half of a read.
And if I have to read one more fucking Cersei chapter, oh, I'm so sad, my kids are dead. No one gives a shit, Cersei. Shut up. Move on to an Arya chapter.
When she gets her death, it's going to be oh so sweet.
It's going to be fantastic. She will get it. Like, that woman will not survive.
No, Daenerys has to sit on the Iron Throne, right?
Exactly, and that's not going to happen if Cersei is alive in any capacity. No. She'll continue fighting and scrabbling and bitching and moaning.
Roasted alive and eaten by a dragon.
Bitten in half by two dragons.
Yep. Taking a leg and an arm, just leaving a torso. A Cersei torso would be great.
Take a note, Weiss and Benioff. We just wrote the ending for you. In other trailer news, slightly different tone. There was a trailer out, I think, overnight for a film that is near and dear to both of our hearts. Pitch Perfect 3.
Yes. Totally different tone, of course. First movie was downright brilliant. Second movie was... It's good in bits. And then you get the ending with a crap song. And you were just left thinking, oh, that was it, was it? But it looks like, a new one coming out. There was a couple of great moments, some Fat Amy stuff in the trailer that was good.
Yeah.
But hopefully it finishes the trilogy off nicely. And it's some good stuff. End of the year, apparently. November, December?
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie. And I mean, I've had my rant, possibly even on this show before, about Pitch Perfect 2 and its bullshit, with all the weird racial and sexual jokes that they sort of squeezed in there for the commentator people. And also the fact that the entire gist of the story was about them sort of relying too much on gimmick and sort of showmanship rather than actual talent. And then in the finale, they use a gimmick to win. So what the fuck was the point the entire time?
Yep. And it's a gimmick that I'm pretty sure that they would get disqualified for as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure you'd have to name your squad before you went in. You can't just name all the Bellas ever.
Yeah, and then they hand out fucking candles or whatever to everyone and everyone weighs them. So like, yeah, you didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that the third
and
film...
It was not a particularly good performance either.
No, it was a terrible
lackluster
song.
Was it Das... What's the other...
Das Sound Machine.
Yes, they were way better.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Excellent. So hopefully the sequel will be better. I noticed a couple of, like... the good kind of racial joke, like they made a joke about white privilege during the trailer, which that's a positive sign that maybe they're not going to be like Mexicans are sleepy and all this kind of stuff, but we'll have to wait a couple months to find out.
There was the show on Netflix that just launched as well, Glow, which is about the lady wrestlers in the 80s, starring Alison Brie and Ellen Wong, who was Knives Chow in Scott Pilgrim.
She's
in it. And you know the woman that played... in American Gods, you got Laura cheats with the other guy. That guy's wife is also in it as well.
Yes. Oh, what do I know her from? Ricky's wife. Is his name Ricky? Or am I just thinking of Ricky Whittle, the guy who plays Shadow Moon?
But it looks like in Glow, she shares a common thread with the character from American Gods. Her husband has been cheating on her. Yeah.
Oh.
So she's done two of those roles in 1 year. Yeah.
Fantastic.
But it looks pretty, I've seen the first episode. It looks pretty good. There are ladies of all sizes and shapes and whatnot in there, so that's good. And varying levels of wrestling talent, which is also quite funny watching them try out in the ring and doing some of the moves. That's good. It looks like one of those shows about a ragtag group of misfits and outcasts that do good. But that doesn't necessarily make it a bad show, because everything does that all the time.
Yeah. Now, from some of the promo images and stuff that I've seen of the show, it looked pretty like 80s as far as sort of the colours and kind of costume 80s. Design. Is it a period piece?
It's set in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah. That's a period piece time-wise, not a period piece because it's about women.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird because Alison Brie is a very attractive lady and they make her look very 80s, so sometimes she does not look very nice at all. Other times she looks great. What it does look like they're doing though is when the ladies are all in their wrestling outfits, it looks like that's when they're supposed to be. They make them look very attractive, very, very cool, but just in their normal day-to-day lives, I don't think they're supposed to be much. I think that's the idea.
Okay, so they're really like doing it up for the performance kind of thing.
I think so, yeah. But it looks kind of fun from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely check it out. As I mentioned before, my Netflix calendar requires me to complete Iron Fist before I can move on to another series, because I need to get out of the way before The Defenders happens later this year, which I think is not that far away anymore.
It's like August, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. So I'll grin and bear it and finish Iron Fist in the meantime, and then start on Glow, along with everything else that will no doubt pop up on the service in between. Also, American Gods, I need to catch up on that.
Yes, the final episode is very, very good.
It's the final episode?
So much Jesus. Yeah, it's the finale.
I didn't realise it was only 8 episodes. I thought it was 10.
I thought it was 10, but apparently it's only 8.
And we haven't even gotten to, the centre of America yet.
Nope.
Or the house on the hill.
But there's lots of Jesuses in this last episode.
Jesuits? Yes. Jesuits? Yeah. Anyway, I'll catch up on that. I'm kind of bummed now. I thought there was more episodes to come. Aww.
Well, I thought there was 10 as well, but apparently only 8. Well, someone told me there was only 8. And Wiki apparently says there's only 8 as well.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it was good.
At least we know they've gotten a second season, so it's not just sort of question marked over that forever. But yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
I'll very sadly watch it. Maybe I'll watch it at half speed so it doesn't end quite as quickly.
We've got some good shows coming up as well. Preacher's back next month. What else? We've got Spidey next week.
That's true. Yes, I'm very excited to see that, which has two post-credit scenes as well, I hear.
So there's some good stuff coming out in the next few weeks, next month or so. I still have to actually catch up on Flash and Arrow and all that junk.
Those I finally caught up on, but yeah, there's definitely some TV shows that have been left by the wayside still.
Stop buying me games. I've got too many games to play.
What happened, Cliff?
I may have been gifted the Abe's Odyssey remake and Abzu, the underwater game. Stop fucking making me play games. I've got too many.
Well, if we go through one more episode where you say, I haven't really been playing anything, it's just going to be me talking nonstop.
Admittedly, it's the week after I've gotten back from another country. So I'm sorting my shit out
the
now that I'm
week
back
after.
First.
The week.
Well, I came straight back on a Sunday to go to work the next day.
And whose fault was that? That was your own fault. So just shut up and enjoy your games.
I haven't bought you any games, and I don't have any money this pay to buy you any games either. So
that's alright, I'll probably buy myself more than enough.
Oh, I did actually play the free demo of the Hitman game.
Oh yeah, that dropped for the first chapter or level or whatever?
It's the training level, basically, for free, and then you can upgrade to the full game. You know what I learned about it?
Mm.
PC controls suck so hard. The keyboard keybinds are all over the shop. They don't even make sense.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about that for Hitman before. I've never played a Hitman game, but I should probably give this a try now that there's a free demo that I can just pull down.
Yeah, it's complete junk. I'm going to find my controller and plug it in to try and play it, or remap the keys, because, yeah, the controls are terrible. You're having to contort your hand to drag a body and stuff. It's horrible.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I think I've even got, like, the Hitman Remaster Collection they did for PS3, but I don't think I ever played it.
No, because in a game like Hitman, where you need kind of twitch response sometimes, you can't be contorting your hand all over the keyboard to weird keybinds to do stuff. They massacred the keys on that one, something fierce.
That's unfortunate. Well, yeah, we'll give that a try. I'm interested in Hitman, but it's just a game that I never was sure if I'd be willing to pay for, so this seems like a good compromise.
The best thing they've done with Hitman is the elusive targets. That is cool.
Oh, yeah,
you
like
get
the
to kill
one
Gary Busey and Santa Claus and all that stuff. Amazing. Absolutely fantastic. The problem with that is that if you get on board now, you never get to play them.
Yeah, because they were timed things, and then you only get one attempt at them.
Yeah. I like the whole one attempt thing, and that unlock at a time. I think they should include them still in the game if you buy it.
Yeah, once the season is wrapped up, because they've been treating it as a season rather than a game.
That's right,
Have it maybe so, you know, one's available per week on a cycle or something. Or just all available past a certain point of progression.
Yeah, maybe just, once the season's done, wait a little bit, release them all. If you haven't already done them, you can then do them at your leisure. But it seems a bit rough. To the best feature about the game, if you don't get on board straight away, you miss out. That is a bit disappointing.
Yeah, it's like Final Fantasy XV had like the Chocobo Festival, where they basically reskinned an area from the game as this big kind of festival with games you could play to unlock items and stuff, but it was only available for a couple of weeks, and then just never again. Which just seems like a bizarre choice. But whatever. Yeah. The next DLC for that's coming out next week, so I'm going to play it. It seems kind of Metal Gear Solid-y, so sort of exploring through a facility, doing sort of first-person gun shooting. Very non-Final Fantasy, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, I think that's it. I think it's a nice short-air episode this week.
Yes, that's good. So thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. That's what we are. So thank you for tuning in.
Our intro and outro music is the song Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. And you can go to Bandcamp to find that and download it and all this other stuff, as well as, you know, every other music video site around to get everything. Google it and you'll find a whole massive list of stuff. So definitely do that.
Yeah, listen to his very good bleep bloops. You can find the show for us at indoorsmanpodcast.com or The Indoorsman on Facebook, at @the_indoorsman on Twitter, and at @indoorsmanpodcast on Instagram.
It's about this time that Matt likes me to mention that the covers he does are really, really great.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say, Cliff. Thank you.
That was not a scripted thing written down here in front of me at all.
No, shut up, you dirty, filthy whore face.
You can actually find me at Cliff and Monkey and Matt at Ponk on Twitter. And if you have any questions or comments or anything else, you can also email us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
Or if you really want to get our attention, you can subscribe and review the show on iTunes because it helps us get our way up in the rankings, and also tells us what you think about us, because we still only have one review that we can see, because I found out that it's region locked for viewing reviews, so if you're from another country, we can't see your reviews. But thank you for doing them anyway, and tell us.
That's junk. Why?
iTunes! So review us anyway. Gross. It still shows up on the overall score, but we just can't see it without paying for some sort of external service,
but
I think.
People in your region will be able to see it, and then have an idea about, why it'd be great if they downloaded it and listened to it as well.
Yeah, it would be very nice.
But for now, that guy over there has been Matt.
And the other one has been Cliff.
And I guess I'll just sign off by saying that I've already finished downloading Abzu, so I guess I'll play a bit of that tonight.
It's really good. It's very chill. You don't actually need to get high to feel like you're high while you're playing it.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So yeah, Enjoy your underwater 420 blaze it session.
Hell yeah.
Weird words. No.
Alright, I'm gonna stop recording.
Yeah, I'm done.